This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Okay, it is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We have a look at Cowboys Twitter and an interesting look at Cowboys Twitter. Stephen Jones is talking about the business of the offseason, talking Leighton Vander Esch's neck, Dak Prescott. There's Hot Boys news as well for you as a very rich edition of Cowboys Twitter is on deck for you right here. Mike Fisher's coming up at 3:20. So I'd say, yeah, you know, you're in good shape. Of course, baseball nuggets at 3:40. Talk about the very latest in the Nolan Arenado story. And there's another chance to win $1,000 that's lurking here in the next 60 minutes. On your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, John Machota here with The Athletic tweeting, Cowboys VP Stephen Jones said, Leighton Vander Esch's neck surgery went well. I feel really good about it. I feel really good about him making a full recovery and being ready to participate in everything. That would be huge.
I cannot wait for the first time that somebody does a surgery and they say, well, not my best work. He could be back, but not my best work.
Think I overdid it a little bit.
Yeah, missed my mark.
Yeah, you know, when I had my first ankle surgery, I didn't know to, like, try to find a good doctor.
Oh, no.
So I found kind of a jobber doctor. And
get a discount at the surgery center?
Yeah, he told me he did a great job and everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But years later, I was talking with a really good physical therapist, and he was kind of explaining what the doctor actually does when he, you know, did my procedures. He's kind of like, well, he's like, could you imagine taking like a blow dryer to a piece of bacon?
Yeah.
You don't want to get it too crispy.
No.
He says, I'm pretty sure your doctor got you too crispy in there.
God.
Yeah, because you got to meld everything back together. You got to warm it up a little bit, and then boom, you know, now you're kind of good to go. So, yes, mistakes can be made, and mistakes were made. Very unfortunate mistakes were made on my behalf. But I would say Leighton Vander Esch's doctor probably better. Than
your jobber doctor?
Yeah.
Agreed.
I think I was supposed to get an orthopedic surgeon, and I got a podiatrist. I think that's how that one went. Drew Davison of the Star Telegram tweeting some Stephen Jones stuff as well. Says, signing Dak Prescott is the top priority for the Cowboys. Re-signing Amari Cooper is number two. Doesn't have any scheduled meetings with their agents there at the Senior Bowl.
Well... Is Robert Quinn talked about enough? I mean, I know we bring him up when we talk about their free agents, but because those seem to be the two that we keep talking about. Dak's the priority, Amari's a priority.
Byron.
And then sometimes Byron, but we don't hear Byron even much from the team, do we?
No.
We talk about it, but not much from the team.
I threw this out yesterday as a comment, but I do want your thought on this. If Byron Jones played on another team, would the Cowboys be interested in him?
My initial thought is no, like you said, but they went and got Brandon Carr.
Okay.
So I don't think they're opposed. I think they view the position as important. They traded up for Mo. They gave Carr big money. They tried to get, was it Asamoah that they lost, but
yeah,
they tried really to get? And
I'm glad we did.
Right? Yeah, yeah, it was very fortunate he went to the Eagles.
Yeah, they've tried to invest. I'm not sure why we don't hear much about Byron, but the Robert Quinn one's going to be really big. That's an important thing to have as an extra pass rusher. And if it's not Robert Quinn, I'm not sure who it's going to be.
Yeah, there's going to be opportunities in the draft.
I've been watching. There's going to be opportunities to take guys, but I don't think there's going to be an opportunity to take a guy that's an immediate impact.
Well, how's this organization process, you know, decisions like this? We're going to find out if it's different than it was under Jason Garrett and Rod Marinelli, because I feel like over the last couple of years in a spot like this, they'd be like, well, we need D tackle. And we need DN. So whoever's the best one that's on the board there when we come up, that's who we are going to take, gentlemen. Whatever the case, it made the rounds this morning and on national TV. It'll be back up before too long. Whenever we have a slow news cycle, the Dak Prescott contract topic, I have a suggestion here for us. Remember at training camp, you said, man, maybe we should stop saying analytics so much because it's a trigger. It's a buzzword for people.
We failed at that, too.
Yeah, we do.
We slowed off on saying analytics for a while. I think at the very least, we need to slow down on just talking. The Dak Prescott contract is such a massive beatdown to me. We know it's getting done. He's going to get paid. We can have, I guess, some hypothetical discussions about maybe some teams in the future should be willing to move on. But It's a road well-traveled. Believe it or not, dozens of teams have come up on situations where they have a quarterback in the exact same situation Dak Prescott is in, and they're like, well, we believe in him, but we're not 100% sold. And what do? You pay the guy and you hope for the best. And sometimes it turns out like Joe Flacco. And a number of years later, you're like, crap, when can we get out of this deal? And, you know, sometimes it works out great. You know, Russell Wilson, for the first 3 or 4 years of his deal, while he had won a Super Bowl, you talk about them managing the game now. It was on another level, and you didn't get nearly the volume of breakout big plays. He was escaping with his legs and managing the game and getting it done with 190 yards passing. You're like, wow, you know, Russell Wilson's a real magician, but when you pay him, team's not going to be good. And what did he do? He got paid and then proved you're wrong. I'm still going to go to the playoffs every year.
He was Pro Football Focus's league MVP this year over Lamar.
Wow.
When they crunched their numbers. They were like, yeah, they'd love giving him 3rd and 8, and he still took him to the playoffs.
He's, you know, he's awesome. What do you think? We did the tank talking. We did the Zeke talking. Now we're back to Dak talking. And I don't know. I just think there's more interesting and fun things to talk about than going through this again. Like, if you give me a year off or something, maybe I can come back with a good voracious appetite for breaking down contract talks. But right here, this one, I feel like it's been broken down every way possible.
I think sometimes it's fun just from the perspective of, like, each year when you get down to your final four teams or the last two teams and, like, all right, what does it look like from the quarterbacks? How many rookie deals is it? What happens, you know? I still think it's interesting, but yeah, it becomes a little bit of a beatdown. I think you should just be resigned to the fact that you have a good quarterback, at least, and they're going to keep him.
Yeah.
People don't walk away from good young quarterbacks.
And you know what? If he's not good, if he can't hang, can't keep the team in the playoffs, they'll miss the playoffs and he'll be gone. You know?
Yeah. Two or three years.
It ain't over, Dak doubters. Your day could very well come. Or... you know, or it'll be great. Elsewhere on Cowboys Twitter, I wonder how territorial you might feel about the Hot Boys name these days, you know, at the beginning of the year.
So lost on this Hot Boys story.
We heard the story.
I agree with Jeff what he did on Twitter today when we get to that.
Okay, so Tank Lawrence just tweeted, the real ones know, OG Hot Boys, trademark, the at Jalen Smith, headed to the Pro Bowl rep and hashtag Hot Boys. This after Ian Rappaport tweeted this morning, in advance of Super Bowl 54 and the publicity that awaits, Niners linebacker Quan Alexander has filed trademarks for Hot Boys with 2 Z's and Hot Boys University. Per his trademark lawyer, Alexander leads San Francisco's Hot Boys movement. Are you calling, what would that be? You know, not BS, but what would that be?
Well, here's what I don't understand, okay? There are very few musical acts that
Bush
are
League.
Important to me in the world.
Yes, continue. Bush
but
League.
It's Bush League by the Cowboys to care, because it's not your name either. The name Hot Boys came around when I was a teenager listening to Lil Wayne and Juvenile and BG and Young Turk, damn it. The Cowboys' defensive line or defense is not the Hot Boys. It's a hip-hop group from the late 90s. It's not yours.
You do
Why
make
are
it,
you so mad about other people
that's
using
what I
it?
Agree with.
You stole it. It's not yours.
We're New Kids on the Block. Oh, no, they're going to steal New Kids on the Block.
It's
we
not
came
yours.
Up with that first. No, you didn't.
It's not yours.
Okay, we're in sync. No, we're 98 degrees because we all throw 98 miles an hour. Now they're trying to take it. We came up with it first. No, you didn't. It's the name of a band. Oh, we're the Beatles. Come up with a name.
Anything that they wear, are they going to call it bling bling?
Yes,
just take that
they
from
might.
The Hot Boys too. Yeah, just take everything they had and then claim it for your own and get mad when somebody else tries to copyright.
There's four
it.
People that are the Hot Boys and none of them play for the Cowboys.
So
I did like
silly.
That bling bling song.
It was a good song.
I don't know.
Very catchy.
I do think you can take a name from another way of life, right, and kind of apply it to yourself and you're first.
Like if they wanted to be the notorious,
like the Four Horsemen.
Okay,
they could take Hot Boys.
The Niners can?
Why?
I mean, like, whoever wants to take it because it's not really the Hot Boys anyway. That's something Louisiana people have been saying for a long time about each other.
Okay.
Like, if you're on fire, like, you know, you got your big rims, you're making good money, you're successful in life, you a hot boy. Hot boy.
Juvenile had a song where he goes, we on fire.
So
I'm just saying, those.
That's actually what, learned about the Hot Boys on Netflix the other day.
Good for you, Mike. Did you click that, Mike?
The season 4.
Yeah, you clicked that, the hip-hop thing?
Yeah.
Look
as
at you.
As a 14-year-old, I was impressionable. The Hot Boys are important to me, and the Cowboys are not the Hot
Boys. Yeah, well, they're fine. They were a good music band back then.
And we're not good at defense.
There goes.
See, that's the thing.
That's the really weird thing. Like,
I don't know.
We need this name. We're super average.
I don't know. I think I'll disagree with you. I would feel offended if I was the Cowboys Hot Boys, and I might actually be inspired, hopefully, they should, to go take the name back. But I would also be embarrassed to go out and defend it right now on Twitter. I would speak with my actions, not my words on this one. You know, if you're Mr. Five Sacks, and I understand he was a great edge player this year, but if you're Mr. Five Sacks on a defense that was a massive disappointment and you're the leader of it, I'm not talking to anybody. You can go do your Hot Boys thing and make an ass out of yourself because you clearly copied us. That's why you got to put two Z's on your Hot Boys. I'm not talking about it, though. I'm going to go put in work, probably roid off my butt, and then show up and dominate. Then we'll see who are the real Hot Boys.
Maybe they should add a third Z for the Cowboys since they're basically sleeping.
Oh, I like it. That's a good dad joke from you, Jeff.
Thanks, man.
Sneak one past the goalie?
No. I don't make love anymore.
Okay.
Hey, did you guys know that Neptune is like one of the greatest producers of all time?
Yeah, I saw that show.
The Neptunes.
The Neptunes. Yeah, the two guys. Yeah, Holy cow.
Chad and Pharrell.
Yeah, that guy's kind of awkward. Not the Pharrell guy.
Yeah.
The other dude.
I'm learning a lot about hip-hop music.
Yeah, it's a good show. Okay, Mike Fish, you're at Fish Sports tweeting. I'm sure he'll have more on this coming up in 8 minutes. Mark Colombo going to the Senior Bowl to interview for the Giants offensive line coaching job. I was thinking about this yesterday with Witten, why I don't care. I think it just comes back to free agency. We're so used to this. Like, kids out there, if you're like 25 and under, when free agency first came around in the mid-90s, it was a shock to our system. Like, what? Everybody's leaving and these people on different teams and all that. But I think LeBron completely shredded whatever residue of that was left.
I hear you, except I did not like at all that they got rid of Michael Young when they did. I was like, wait, this is a championship contending team. And he means a lot to this stuff that obviously, at the time, John Daniels didn't understand, and I think John Daniels would admit now, I made a major mistake in getting rid of. And then when it was kind of Dirk, I'd be like, no, I understood, like, hey, we need to kind of move on. But I would have been like, oh man, I can't believe Dirk is wearing another jersey.
Yeah,
Jason Witten he was never part of anything special for me. He's a Hall of Famer. He just isn't part of Cowboys winning. So I'm like. Look,
so you get a little bit more territorial of your guys when they win it.
I hear what you're saying, but to me, he didn't bring anything special to this organization except individually he was really good.
Okay, the morning news tweeting, Mike McCarthy's made one thing clear. Players make the schemes, not the coaching staff. I can't decide if this is a good thing or a bad thing. Yeah, players make the schemes, not the coaching staff. He's basically saying we're going to coach around you. I think that's setting up to be very Zeke heavy. Jeff, does that make you nervous? And do you agree with my assessment?
No, I think he's just saying the right thing because I don't think that they're totally sure what they're doing yet. My assumption would be the offense will be somewhat similar to last year because you have the same play caller. And so I think he's just getting out all the generalities that are true. Where it's like, well, we're just going to put our players in position to succeed, right? I saw that the defensive coaching staff, the latest story is they made a really positive impression on the Joneses. Because they're really going to emphasize takeaways.
Cool.
Who doesn't say that?
Yeah, everybody should.
The Cowboys have been saying that for 10 years while not taking the ball away. But I think now, because there's nothing you can really do football-wise, they're just answering the questions the best they can, which is, hey, if we got good players, we're going to find what they're good at, and we're really going to put them in a position to succeed.
Well, I hope it looks like Kyle Shanahan's running game, because that thing's a thing of beauty. We're just going to keep running it, and I love that. Hopefully that's where they're going. You can build the offense around the running game all day long if you're going to do it like that. Kayvon Frazier tweeting, my heart goes out to this man and his family, hard to watch, with the Delonte West videos. And there was a pretty dang good prank on Cowboys Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw it this morning. But speaking of Kyle Shanahan, it got tweeted somehow by All22, at All22, Shanahan explaining the intricacies of blocking angles and why he prefers them to box numbers. 41 seconds of football heaven. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Kyle Shanahan's going to be talking about his run game principles and his philosophy and what makes it successful. It's kind of like a Rick roll. I hit play. And it was audio of Triple X video material.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
And I had the volume up in my house, and it starts reverberating through the house, and my
fiance. Was that on Twitter?
It was very early. My fiance was there.
Were you on Twitter?
Yeah, I was on Twitter.
Yeah, it's a little thing going around on Twitter.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm. Like, this person says something crazy. You're like, oh, what they got? What they say? You click on it, it's, yeah, too much.
It's super loud, too.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I was like, holy cow, honey.
Does it have a picture of a very blessed man, too, for you?
No, it was Kyle Shanahan up there. It looked like he was talking.
Okay. It's Caliendo doing sex sounds while Shanahan talks.
I'm telling you, before you click it, it just looks like Shanahan dropping knowledge, and then when you hit it and you un-X the little speaker thing, bam, full blown. They were in the throes of passion. Okay, Mike Fisher is set to join us. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. It's winning time, though. Text the word CAPE to 72881. CAPE to 72881. And this national Turn It On, Leave It On contest, you'll have another chance coming up at the 4 o'clock hour. And then tomorrow as well with Sean and RJ starting at 6 o'clock. Fish is next in the nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. Segments brought to you by Sewell Automotive. And by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the office of Frankel & Frankel, 214-333-3333, or get online there to frankelfirm.com. Mike Fisher's got the latest, what you need to know about the Delonte West status. Cowboys special team, Senior Bowl. Is Mark Colombo going to go coach with the Giants, too? And more. Fish joins us daily at 3:20 here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, Fish. How you doing?
Good, boys. And I do want to get to the dehumanization of Delonte West, a story that I'm working on, and we'll touch that a little bit as well. The Senior Bowl, the Cowboys coaching staff ain't going. And on the surface, this seems like an outrage. Maybe Jeff Kavanaugh can help pitch in here. The Will McClay on the scouting staff is going. So business as usual for them. Mike McCarthy, the new head coach of the Cowboys, has decided, listen, we've got too much to do here at the Star. And so priority-wise, we're going to keep the coaching staff here at the Star and get our business in order here. First of all, the completion of the hiring and staff, that's on the list of things to do. But there's an evaluation of the players that they already have in the building and that kind of stuff. So their own free agents, their own evaluation, NFL free agents taking priority over going to the Senior Bowl. Jeffrey, we don't have any problem with this, do we?
I actually am on record of saying I love it. Let the scouts and the actual GM, when it comes to acquiring talent, do the scouting. And coaches, you guys get ready to coach.
Okay, let me try this on you. Number one, Steven and Jerry are going, I'm told. And so it'll still be the usual football convention that as always is in Mobile. And number two, I would suggest, and this isn't my area of expertise, Jeffrey, so again, I rely on you. It's not like we're skipping the combine. We're skipping seniors that we've seen play for 4 and 5 years. Is that fair?
I don't think so, because I think there's more value in seeing guys at the Senior Bowl than there is at the combine, because it's the last actual football setting where they're actually practicing and playing football, whereas the combine is different.
Underwear Olympics at the combine.
Yes, which is important too to check boxes, but I'd rather see them and talk to them in a football setting than a workout setting.
All right, and then I did ask regarding your statement from a moment ago. I said, does this indicate a separation of church and state, that the scouts will scout and the coaches will not scout and maybe even have less influence on the big board? Because as we know here, famously, Rod Marinelli in particular certainly had influence when it came to making selections. And I'm told, no, the coaches, they still have their input. The scouting department wants to know what they want. They want to know what traits they want. They want to know what style of defense they're going to run and those kind of things. So the coaching staff's still having influence, but I don't think it's a bad thing at all, to paraphrase Jeffrey, that the coaches are going to coach this week and the scouts are going to scout this week. So no coaching staff at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. You know, I don't want to disrespect Rob Marinelli. I'm sure he's got a lot of hits. But if he could just go back and have those two draft picks and do them differently, there could be a massively different outlook for this football team right now, Fish.
Yeah, and the organizational chart, as we've talked about for years under Jerry, it helps when there's some organization to it. So if the scouts maybe have just a little bit clearer picture and the coaches have just a little bit more understanding And then most of all, the drum that I keep beating and the players understand, no, you can't just march up to Jerry's office. You got a problem, you go to your position coach, then he'll bring it to the head coach, then he'll bring it up to the Joneses. And I think this is a sign. I think we've seen a few signs that that is a real live possibility.
Okay, what do you have going on with the Cowboys special teams these days?
So Rick Goslin, who has done this for years, and I think everybody knows and respects Rick, long time at the Morning News. Rick used to, we'd be at training camp in Austin, and I really, I respected his diligence. So, you know, I'm sitting there, and we're all sitting there, and we're watching practice, and here comes out Mike Saxon or whoever the punter, and Goslin takes out his, he's got this bag of colored pencils, and he takes out this chart with these colored pencils, and he's recording all of Saxon's punts. I mean, he's got a purple means of this and a red means of this, and he's got a stopwatch, Goose does. And he's measuring the hang time on all these punts. And just to bust his chops, again, this goes back 30 years, I said, you know, Rick, I said, I really respect your work ethic, but it seems like you're kind of spinning your wheels a little bit on this hang time and whatnot. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, after practice, I just go ask Joe Avezzano what the hang times were on the punts. I don't have any pencils. He just hands it to me.
Work smarter.
But by and large, Rick Goslin is smarter than most of us. And for a long time, he has put together his special teams rankings. And he goes through, I think, Jeff, it's 32 categories, I believe.
Okay.
And he digs through all these categories and then kind of comes up with a scientific system and combines them all. And guess where the Cowboys special teams finished?
32nd.
31st.
Oh.
Only Tampa Bay was worse. And we said this all season long, and I think Goose's numbers reflect this. I never did look at the stat sheet on the Cowboys special teams all year to see where they ranked. I had the eye test. I could already tell. I didn't need to see it. I could smell it. I could smell the eye test on how bad they were. There's no question that just by osmosis, just the existence of John Bones Fossil now as a special teams coach, yes, maybe they got to emphasize some different things. Maybe they draft different kind of people. But John Fossil being in the building as a special teams coach, major upgrade there just as soon as he walks in the door.
Okay, now speaking of Cowboys coaches, what is going on with Mark Colombo? Is he a strong candidate to join Jay Jeezy up there in New York?
Yesterday afternoon, Colombo texted a handful of us and said, I got a shot at it. And so we all had to do a little digging. And he spoke with Giants head coach Joe Judge on Saturday, and he's going to now go to Mobile on Wednesday. And again, that's a football convention, so that makes sense. In fact, I think a lot of unemployed coaches kind of end up rolling into Mobile and just going in the lobby. Agents and everybody just hangs around and gets to a G and then a Han. So Colombo's going to interview for the Giants offensive line coach job on Wednesday. And once again, I suggest, as I did with Garrett getting the coordinator's job because the owners wanted him to, Joe Judge doesn't know Mark Colombo from Adam, does he?
I wouldn't think so.
Now, Joe Judge coached with the Patriots, and Mark Colombo's from Boston. Does that count? I don't think so. So this is probably Jason Garrett telling Joe Judge, hey, I got a guy for you. Interview my guy, Mark Colombo. I'm also hearing that Bill Callahan may have interviewed for the Giants. And I bet you when Bill Callahan found out that Jason Garrett was going to be the offensive coordinator, that might have been the end of that interview.
I promise.
A little history going on there.
A little conflict there. That didn't quite work, as you recall, back here in Dallas together.
Okay, now this Super Bowl matchup, former Cowboys involved?
Yeah, there's four guys that jump out for me, and they're all Chiefs. Damian Wilson starts for the Chiefs. Remember how he was just kind of a guy here, although he started, but he's just kind of a guy. And then Anthony Hitchens starts there, and he got the big money to go to the Chiefs. And we knew he was a good player when he was here, but then cashed in elsewhere. Mo Claiborne is on the Chiefs roster.
Okay. All right.
And I must say, I mean, I thought I watched a lot of football. I was not aware of that. A friend of the show, friend of G-Bag Nation, Mo Claiborne. I don't think he ever plays. But then the starting cornerback Ward. How do you say his first name, Jeffrey?
Charvarius.
Okay. Remember when he was in Cowboy camp, and was he a rookie?
Practice squad guy, I believe.
Okay.
Coach,
and he was
right?
tearing it up, and he was good. I mean, we, you know, even a dope like me could see he was good. But then remember the Cowboys were – they had offensive line injuries or something. So they traded to the Chiefs. They traded away Ward. You know, he looks like a good little player, but who's going to need him? We're so deep at cornerback. And acquired some offensive linemen who never played in the NFL.
Nice. So, good deal.
Yeah. Great deal. So four notable Chiefs. Three of them starters, and then we're rooting for Mo. That'll be fun. Mo Claiborne gets to go to the Super Bowl. Good for him.
But no hot boys on that Kansas City team, right?
Oh, gosh. I do get Cowboy Nation going at Tank Lawrence today and saying, why don't you quit worrying about patents and trademarks and nicknames and go get a sack. I do get that. But Tank Lawrence and those guys, they do feel like they invented this nickname for themselves. And now along come the 49ers, and they've decided, well, if we'll just add an extra Z to Hot Boys, then we can go trademark that. So apparently they're trying to do that. I suppose now the Chiefs could come by and say, well, we're going to add three Zs to it, and we're going to trademark it. And then there's the ultimate. Now, this isn't my generation, but Jeffrey, this is yours. Isn't Hot Boys stolen from somebody originally anyway?
Yes, and two of them have done prison stints, and we do not appreciate their name being taken, okay?
So now everybody's the Hot Boys, but it was a New Orleans-based boy band. Is that kind of what it was?
No, it was not a boy band. It was how Lil Wayne got started. It was Lil Wayne, Juvenile, BG, and Young Turk. Get it right.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Their names
wasn't one
Lil?
Of them like 14 at the time?
Lil Wayne was the youngest. Yeah.
Their names are Lil, Young, and Juvenile, and they're not boys. They were kids.
It's not a boy band the way you're saying boy band.
It kind of was.
Sure,
though.
I guess they were between boy and man status. Some of them.
So they didn't sing back.
It was boys to men?
Oh, back.
No, they did not.
Okay.
No. Check out BG's Chopper City, though. Or I guess it's Choppa City.
I have it on my A-track. Yeah, I got it on my A-track. Okay.
What else you have for us?
Well, and then finally, and I'm working on a big project on this. You know, we got to know Delonte West a little bit when he was here with the Mavericks for one successful year and then one disastrous fall. And then we got to know him again twice more when he came through with the Texas Legends of the G League. And, of course, we did those TV games till Choppy got everybody fired. And now we see that Delonte. Yeah, now we see Delonte in trouble again. It's absolutely tragic. It's alleged to be Delonte that is laying down in the middle of a freeway near Washington D.C., his hometown, getting the heck beat out of him by a man with heavy fists and a heavy boot. And it's absolutely tragic. And I go back to what the Mavericks tried to do with Delonte. I know for a fact that Mark Cuban set him up with a financial advisor. Delonte had made $16 million in the NBA and was broke then, and obviously is broke now. And I remember Rick Carlisle saying, I think it was in the middle of two suspensions, that Rick said, I've got to find a way to reach him. I've got to find a way to help him. Well, now the NBA community, having seen way too many of these, because they've been out there for years, Delonte on a street corner, Delonte looking homeless, Delonte begging under a bridge, and now Delonte allegedly and apparently getting the crap beat out of him for something. Whatever he did, it couldn't have been that bad to deserve the beating that he got. So the NBA community trying to reach out. I'm sure one of the problems with Delonte, and Jeffrey, you've spoken valiantly on this subject, Delonte has bipolar disorder, and at the same time, sometimes says, I don't really need my medicine. And that's an unfortunate combination, and one of the reasons that Delonte, I think, is in so much trouble. So to have some empathy for his situation and not turn this into a circus, I think would be the humane thing to do. I hate to see the dehumanization of Delonte, but we are seeing it now.
Well said, Fish. We will catch up with you tomorrow.
Thanks, fellas.
There he goes. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter, the great Mike Fisher. Okay, speaking of Mike's, Baseball Nuggets is next. Where are we going
with
it?
We'll talk Nolan Arenado, and Jeff and Gavin get to crush 100%er next.
I don't appreciate Lucius playing under the bridge right now. Very insensitive.
It's for Delonte, man.
I know what it's for.
You know
for.
What I'm saying? Keep it in your hearts right now, in your prayers. Delonte, stand up.
Okay, we'll be talking Senior Bowl coming up at 4 o'clock. The top stories NFL scouts are following as everybody congregates in Mobile, Alabama. Let's talk some baseball, though, and here's Mike Bassick.
Well, if you just heard Jared Sandler say it, I'll say it again. Tomorrow here, 4131 North Central Expressway, Jared Sandler, Hall of Famer Eric Nadell, prospect, also big leaguer Nick Solak, and Isaiah Falefa will be here. Falefa, said it wrong.
Hey,
they will all be here downstairs on the first floor. Everything will be free. You can have questions. Hopefully they'll have answers. It'll be a really fun time. Free autographs. Doors open 5:45. I believe your kind of Q&A session starts at 6 o'clock, so you can meet Nick Solak and Isaiah Falefa.
It'll be an enchanted evening of baseball here at 75.
I'm actually bringing something for Eric Nadell to sign. I have a piece of art from Arlington Stadium that I'd like for him to sign because he goes back to Arlington Stadium. So bringing that with me.
Probably get his Limerick book, too.
Yeah. Now, he is a Hall of Famer, Eric Nadell. I don't know how, you don't know if he received 100% of the vote because I know it was a different vote. But would you guys like to crush Derek Jeter? Because it looks like this afternoon we're going to find out he is going to receive 100% of the vote.
Oh, best player ever.
Yep. That's what they're putting him in.
He was a good player. He can go to the Hall. It's fine.
Okay. That's all you guys. I was going to give you guys the floor to crush Derek Jeter right now.
Yeah, he probably went to 3 to 5 more All-Star games than he should, got more MVP votes than he should. And if he weren't a Yankee, he wouldn't be looked at quite the same. But he was good. He's a Hall of Famer. He can go.
I mean, what did he hit?
I don't know why he cut that throw off, though. The guy would have been out by further if he didn't let the ball go.
Yeah, you know.
It was really a selfish moment for him. About Derek.
He's almost as good as Adrian Beltre.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, almost.
Do you know the only other player to receive 100% of the vote?
Man, no, he never hit 25 home runs.
Willie Mays.
No, it's actually just recently. It was Mariano Rivera, his teammate.
Oh, wow. Now,
would you guys like to crush the Yankees? How about that?
Would you guys like to crush Mariano Rivera?
Who would have thought? All the best players ever were Yankees. Shocking.
Yeah. A reliever couldn't get in for decades, and now that a Yankee might be the best one ever. Yeah. Woo! Oh, boy, 100%. Here we go.
This guy won gold gloves for no reason.
Okay, so Jeter's getting in. Is he going to get in at 100% right now? It looks like he will.
Give me a vote.
Ken Griffey Jr. almost got 100%. So recently this has been a trend.
Oh, yeah, Jeter was better. Griffey, got it. Yeah,
that's awesome.
That nobody was ever going to get in at 100%. Griffey, I think, was like at 99.something%, so he missed it by 1 or 2 votes. And Mo Rivera last year got 100%. So it looks like now, if you're a for sure thing, it looks like you will get the 100%.
Well, I just can't wait for the celebration tour to all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums so we can give the proper respect that a player of that caliber deserves.
Well,
you know?
Let's
have Derek Jeter night at Globe Life Field for opening day.
You know, Griffey only had
a Jeter bobblehead.
Oh, all over him, Dawson. Talking. You were all over that, man. You trying to get a gift bag or something?
Something like that. Right? Yeah.
Griffey only had 100 points higher OPS for his career and was a 8 times better defender. So why would he get more votes than Derek Jeter?
Okay,
he didn't play
for
the
Yankees.
That's
what I was looking for. That's
legend.
Where my team. I'm glad you guys paid off on my team.
Was never good enough to put on the pinstripes.
Mm. Okay, yeah, that's true. They did have striped jerseys in Cincinnati for a time. So he got to put them on. They were just red pinstripes. Yeah. Okay, moving on from Derek Jeter is Larry Walker.
Now there's a good player.
This is the final year that he can get in. It's going to be really close. He even put out on Twitter, "Hey, I don't think I'm going to get in, but thank you guys so much for voting for me."
And career OPS, 150 points higher than Jeter.
Okay. Well, he is trying to get in, and then Curt Schilling, and then that's it. So as in, I don't know if Walker's going to make it.
Bonson going to make it?
Curt's going in.
He's going to get – no, Curt's right on that borderline. It's going to be Larry Walker and Curt Schilling are on the borderline. Jeter's in. But, guys, don't you think Jeter should get in all by himself, being the greatest player of all time?
No, he shouldn't.
And they should make sure that it's just him at Cooperstown.
And Schilling should be a lesson to people. Like, it's weird, but if you're famous for playing your sport, just let people love you for it. If you start letting your political views be known, people will not like you, and you will not go to the Hall of Fame for a while.
This is the first time ever we've been on the air during it. I think we're actually going to be on the air when we find out if Jeter got 100%, and then if Larry Walker, Curt Schilling made it. And yes, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens keep moving up, but they're not going to move up enough to get the 75% that they need.
Are they
going to
run out of time before they make it?
Maybe so. I know that Barry Bonds last year was 2007, so you get to be on the ballot for 10 years, so his first year on would have been 2011, so he gets to go till 2021, so he has 1 or 2 years left.
He'll make it. The very last year, people will be like, no matter how much I hate him, he's maybe the best player to ever play this game.
Do you think Clemens will be in the same boat? Because he's arguably the greatest pitcher, at least of our time.
Yeah, they should.
They should, but I think Bonds has an even stronger case than Clemens.
Rogers become even less likable. You know, that weird thing where, you know, he went into court and lied and then said, see, I told you the truth would come to light.
Yeah.
Like, that was like his last big public thing, and it just left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. At least Barry's come out and smiled and done some interviews and been somewhat personable. I didn't think he could actually be likable again. But
I wonder if it's because Roger was a very likable player for a long time, and they're like, oh, you're really
might be it. Yeah.
And it's like, well, Barry's been consistent his whole life. He's pretty much been that person his whole life and hasn't really changed. To your point, there was a point where he did do an interview, I think a year or so ago, around the Hall of Fame time, to say, man, I probably should have treated people a little bit better, and they would treat me maybe a little bit better right now.
A little tour like that can go a long way.
All right, so let's go to the Nolan Arenado situation. If you haven't heard, Nolan Arenado has now come out publicly and said that he's been disrespected by quite a few people in the Colorado Rockies organization, including their general manager. And he said, I want you to quote this. I want this out in public, because last night the Rockies said, we're not trading Nolan Arenado. He's coming to spring training. He's going to be a Colorado Rocky. I don't know why I can't say that right now, but it looks like Arenado doesn't want to be a Rocky. I don't know if that's going to change the Rockies' mind at all, but as soon as they come out and say, we're not trading him, Arenado made sure to come out and say, I don't want to be here anymore.
Good for him. I like it.
Yeah, I love this development. I was depressed yesterday when it sort of seemed like this was going away. I don't have a ton of faith that the Rangers can get in and win this bidding, because they're not the team that can win if they just decide to win the bidding, right?
Yeah.
But at least there's a chance now. And trading is something the Rangers are good at, Mike. You know, if this was a free agent thing we were waiting to develop, I'd think there's about a 0.5% chance. But being a trade, I'm into the double digits of probabilities.
I hear you. And here's where I'm going to go with this. Right now, MLB Network and MLB.com are putting out their top 10 prospects at each position.
Let's go, Rangers.
So far, they've put out left-handed top 10 pitchers. The Rangers are not on the list. Right-handed top 10 pitchers, the Rangers don't have a person on the list. Top 10 catchers in minor leagues, Rangers don't have one on the list. Top 10 first basemen, the Rangers don't have one on the list. Now, they do have two people on the list so far. They have not done shortstop and they have not done outfield, and I don't know if the Rangers are going to hit those or not. But number 5 overall, second baseman, Nick Solak is on the list.
Hey!
The issue there is, I just wonder, is the Rangers refused to play him at second base in August and September. So I just don't know defensively how he can be. And then number 5 overall, third base, is Josh Jung. So right now the Rangers, out of almost every position besides shortstop and outfielders, the Rangers have two people on the top 10 list. Number 5, third baseman Josh Jung. Number 5, second baseman Nick Solak. But you just have to understand that that's where the Rangers are when they're trading for a superstar, probably future Hall of Famer in Nolan Arenado. You just don't have a lot on these lists that would probably get somebody really excited.
Yeah, the Braves owner could wake up and say, oh, hell, the Rangers got a good offer. Let's beat it, right? Their farm system is so flush. I mean, I remember you doing a list maybe a couple of months ago. It didn't seem like the Rangers even had any prospects in the top 50 or top 100 at the time. So they might have the third best second baseman and the third best, but it takes, like, for me, top 10 prospects in the game to seriously consider trading a superstar.
And that's maybe where the Rangers are going to fall short if they want to, just because you said it. I'm clicking really quick. And by the way, I messed up. Sam Huff is on the list, number 6 overall for catchers. So you have number 6 overall for catchers in Sam Huff. So you have 3 guys on the list.
3 pretty good prospects there.
Yeah.
I think with one more,
I would offer all 3. I know prospect people are going to say I'm crazy, but I would be like, here's Josh Jung, here's Nick Solak, here's Sam Huff. They make the list of top 10 by MLB.com, by
at their position.
MLB Network, at their position, not top 10 overall. But we're giving you the three guys that at least baseball are considering. These guys are considered big-time prospects.
Do you got to pick up any money like that? Three guys and a little bit of cash?
Well, I don't think you would be sending – I mean, really, at least in the articles, they're like, hey, and probably the Rockies would kick in. I would just take him for what he is. You are going to offer that contract anyways. If you wanted Nolan Arenado that bad, 8 years, $260 million with now 1 year off of it. At 7 years, pretty much the contract that you got why am I drawing a blank? Washington Nationals MVP. Rendon, they're pretty much on the same contract at this point, both on seven-year contracts. None of these guys are going to be Nolan Arenado. So if you want them, do whatever they want. I know that sounds horrible, as in that's not the way negotiating works, but I'd be like, Colorado, you say you're not trading him. Now your guy comes out and says he doesn't want to be here at all. What do you guys want? And then whatever they say,
okay,
you just say, all right,
done.
And now we move on and we have a Hall of Fame third baseman for the next 7 years.
Okay, top 10 stories NFL scouts are following at the Senior Bowl, including ones that could spell dominance for the Cowboys. It's next in the Nation.